The Book of Daniel, number 146. Unraveling the Prophetic Threads. The Final President, Dictatorship, and the Impending Sunday Law. Key Takeaways. This article delves into the prophetic environment surrounding the ascent of the final president of the United States, contextualizing it within the narrative of dictatorship, societal divisions, and the looming Sunday Law. Drawing parallels to historical events like Hitler's rise to power and the Civil War era, the author explores the polarization within the citizenry and identifies key political and social dynamics shaping the future as they did in the past. With references to biblical passages and prophecies, the article discusses the roots of political parties, economic slavery, and the influence of globalists. It also scrutinizes the role of figures like Father Charles Coughlin and Franklin D. Roosevelt, linking past policies to contemporary challenges. Moreover, the narrative anticipates a scenario where the middle class diminishes, leading to a feudalistic society. The article concludes with reflections on spiritualism, Sunday sacredness, and the pharmaceutical industry's role in shaping the prophesied events. The final president's rise to power mirrors historical dictatorial regimes of the past, with societal divisions influencing perceptions of his leadership. Historical events like Hitler's rise and the Civil War era serve as parallels to contemporary political and social dynamics in the United States. The Republican Party's origins in opposition to slavery and the implications for the final Republican president are discussed in light of potential civil unrest. The article highlights the role of political parties in shaping societal values, with a focus on the roots of the Democratic and Republican parties. Economic slavery, exacerbated by globalist agendas and immigration policies, is identified as a threat to social, economic, and religious freedoms. The legacy of Franklin D. Roosevelt's New Deal policies and their long-term implications for social dependency and economic inequality are examined. The United Nations' emergence after World War II is interpreted as a precursor to the establishment of a one-world government and financial system. Biblical prophecies, particularly those related to spiritualism, Sunday sacredness, and the pharmaceutical industry's influence, are analyzed in the context of contemporary events. The potential for societal upheaval and the erosion of constitutional principles leading up to the imposition of a Sunday law are explored through biblical and historical lenses. The article concludes with a warning about false prophets, societal divisions, and the need for spiritual discernment amidst impending crises. We are in the process of identifying the prophetic environment which exists when the final president of the United States becomes empowered as a despot in the history leading to the soon coming Sunday law. Nothing is done in a vacuum, and the citizenry of the Earth Beast is fairly equally divided in their assessment of Trump. Those who sympathize with his view can readily see why he needs to clean up the swamp, and why it is virtually impossible to happen without Trump assuming the role of a dictator. The most powerful dictators are those who have a high percentage of the population supporting the work the dictator is attempting to do. Prior to Hitler's rise to power, it would take a wheelbarrow full of cash to buy a loaf of bread. Hitler turned that around, and though the Germans do not wish to acknowledge much of that history, Hitler had widespread support for his work. The issues confronting the United States and the entire world are producing a distinction between citizens, and lines are now being drawn. The time from the Revolutionary War unto 1798 represents a period of preparation that aligns with the ceiling time of the 144,000. The Patriot Act marked the beginning of the spiritual repetition of the Revolutionary War. Jesus always illustrates the end with the beginning, and the Earth Beast began with a Revolutionary War, so it will end with one. The first was literal, the last is spiritual. The U.S. Civil War was literal and is to be repeated in the last days. It marked the arrival of the first Republican president, who typifies the last Republican president. The Republican Party came into existence as an anti-slavery party in order to oppose the long-established pro-slavery party of the Democrats. That political argument produced the Civil War and the presidency of Lincoln. It is therefore impossible to separate the first Republican president from the Civil War, so the last Republican president will inherit an immediate prelude to a civil war. Jesus employed the natural world to illustrate the spiritual world. The party of the dragon has for its father the father of lies, and the hallmark of the Democratic Party is falsehood. A classic illustration of this tactic is their claim that they are the party that is sympathetic with minorities. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7:15-20. The roots of a tree determine the fruit it will bear, and the roots of the Democratic Party is their pro-slavery position. The roots of the Republican Party is their anti-slavery position. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. Jeremiah 12:1-2. The coming civil war is placed in the context of the moneyed men, as Sister White calls them, controlling the marketplace in order to reap the wealth of the nations while treading down the poor. In India, China, Russia, and the cities of America, thousands of men and women are dying of starvation. The moneyed men, because they have the power, control the market. They purchase at low rates all they can obtain and then sell at greatly increased prices. This means starvation to the poorer classes and will result in a civil war. Manuscript Releases, Volume 5, 305. The Civil War of Lincoln's history was literal and addressed literal enslavement. The dragon-inspired globalists are producing a civil war in the last days that is based upon their efforts to eliminate the middle class, leaving only the super-rich elites and the super-poor serfs. It is the middle class that preserves social, economic, and religious freedom, and when it is removed, there is no buffer against the implementation of feudalism. The main achievement of the French Revolution was that it ended the system of feudalism, which the globalists are now seeking to reimpose by removing the middle class. The globalist plan is largely based upon flooding the middle class with illegal immigrants, which reduces economic production, lowers wages, and enlarges the state welfare system. Leading up to the Second World War, during the Great Depression, Father Charles Coughlin, a Roman Catholic priest, gained fame for his radio broadcasts, which reached millions of listeners across the country. His radio broadcasts paralleled the influence of Rush Limbaugh in the recent past. Coughlin used his radio platform to discuss a wide range of topics, including politics, economics, and social issues. He initially supported President Franklin D. Roosevelt and his New Deal. Coughlin's radio broadcasts, which were often inflammatory and controversial, made him a polarizing figure in American politics. While he had a large and dedicated following, he also faced criticism and condemnation from various quarters for his extremist views. The initial political, economic, and social views of Coughlin were adopted by Franklin Roosevelt and became his blueprint for his New Deal policies, which introduced the bane of the escalating Social Security system and the welfare system in the United States. His New Deal policies became the hallmark of his legacy and was an element of the prophetic scenario that led to and followed after World War II. By their fruits, ye shall know them. Due to the implementation of Roosevelt's New Deal policies, the Great Depression lasted much longer in the United States than any other nation in the world. Roosevelt was a Democrat, and therefore a dragon-inspired globalist. The New Deal policies he introduced were part of a long-range plan to produce a citizenry of super-rich and super-poor. The literal slavery of the Civil War represents the spiritual and economic slavery that is now accelerating at warp speed. As the globalist billionaire merchants of modern Babylon finance the widespread illegal immigration that is designed to bring Roosevelt's New Deal to their understanding of perfection. The last president who will be confronted by the Third World War will also be confronted by the crisis of the program of social dependency put in place by the president during the Second World War. Inspiration identifies this fact, and also identifies that the leaders in the last days will not know how to address the problem. There are not many, even among educators and statesmen, who comprehend the causes that underlie the present state of society. Those who hold the reins of government are not able to solve the problem of moral corruption, poverty, pauperism, and increasing crime. They are struggling in vain to place business operations on a more secure basis. If men would give more heed to the teaching of God's word, they would find a solution of the problems that perplex them. The scriptures describe the condition of the world just before Christ's second coming. Of the men who by robbery and extortion are amassing great riches, it is written, "Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." James 5:3-6. Testimonies, Volume 9, 13. The last president will hold the reins of government, but he will not be able to solve the problem of moral corruption, poverty, pauperism, and increasing crime, nor will he be able to place business operations on a more secure basis. All of these problems are associated with the bankers and billionaire merchants of the last days. Pauperism is used to describe the condition of those who rely on poor relief or welfare provided by local governments or charitable organizations. In many societies, pauperism was associated with social stigma and often resulted in marginalization and discrimination against those experiencing poverty. The program in American history that has produced pauperism is the program that is supposedly designed to relieve those trapped in poverty to elevate themselves. Instead, it produced a system of government welfare to hold those paupers in economic slavery. Immediately after World War II, the United Nations began to operate. This provided a second witness from the first two world wars that the Seventh Kingdom, the United Nations, will be placed upon the throne of the earth. The First World War identified the role of the global banking system that was adopted in the history of the First World War and the intentions of those world bankers and merchants to return to the feudal system as represented in the Second World War. All of these designs, the one world government, the economic system of super-rich ruling the super-poor, and the one-world financial system that will only allow whoever it sees fit to participate in, came from the dragon, who is at war with the eighth president, that is of the seven. The logic represented by these factors clearly illustrates a president who will feel compelled to become dictatorial in his approach to problem solving. We are simply identifying the prophetic environment which God's word has identified will unfold during the history of the final president of the earth beast. In the previous article, we referenced a passage from The Great Controversy, where she identifies the temporal prosperity being removed before the Sunday law. The passage identifies many prophetic characteristics of the last days, and the points she addresses find their fulfillments in the image of the beast testing time in both the United States and thereafter in the world. She identifies the two issues which Satan employs to capture the world as spiritualism and Sunday sacredness. While referencing the miracles of healing that Satan will employ, she identifies another prophetic issue of our times. Through the two great errors, the immortality of the soul and Sunday sacredness, Satan will bring the people under his deceptions. While the former lays the foundation of spiritualism, the latter creates a bond of sympathy with Rome. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power. And under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience. As spiritualism more closely imitates the nominal Christianity of the day, it has greater power to deceive and ensnare. Satan himself is converted after the modern order of things. He will appear in the character of an angel of light. Through the agency of spiritualism, miracles will be wrought, the sick will be healed, and many undeniable wonders will be performed. and as the spirits will profess faith in the Bible and manifest respect for the institutions of the church, their work will be accepted as a manifestation of divine power. The line of distinction between professed Christians and the ungodly is now hardly distinguishable. Church members love what the world loves and are ready to join with them, and Satan determines to unite them in one body and thus strengthen his cause by sweeping all into the ranks of spiritualism. Papists, who boast of miracles as a certain sign of the true church, will be readily deceived by this wonder-working power, and Protestants, having cast away the shield of truth, will also be deluded. Papists, Protestants, and worldlings will alike accept the form of godliness without the power, and they will see in this union a grand movement for the conversion of the world and the ushering in of the long-expected millennium. Through spiritualism, Satan appears as a benefactor of the race, healing the diseases of the people and professing to present a new and more exalted system of religious faith. But at the same time, he works as a destroyer. His temptations are leading multitudes to ruin. Intemperance dethrones reason. Sensual indulgence, strife, and bloodshed follow. Satan delights in war, for it excites the worst passions of the soul, and then sweeps into eternity its victims steeped in vice and blood. It is his object to incite the nations to war against one another, for he can thus divert the minds of the people from the work of preparation to stand in the day of God. The Great Controversy, 588-589. Satan appears to accomplish his crowning act at the Sunday Law, not before. It is after the United States speaks as a dragon in verse 11 in chapter 13 of Revelation that in verse 13 Satan appears to call fire down out of heaven. This is also what Sister White identifies. By the decree enforcing the institution of the papacy in violation of the law of God, our nation will disconnect herself fully from righteousness. When Protestantism shall stretch her hand across the gulf to grasp the hand of the Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism, when, under the influence of this threefold union, our country shall repudiate every principle of its constitution as a Protestant and Republican government, and shall make provision for the propagation of papal falsehoods and delusions, then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan and that the end is near. Testimonies, Volume 5, 451. Before the Sunday Law, during the testing time of the image of the beast, which is also the sealing time of the 144,000, which is also where the effect of every vision occurs, there will be manifested a phenomenon of the dragon power which represents the miracle of false healing. In the book of Revelation, the whore of Babylon is identified as deceiving all the nations. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Revelation 18:23. The word sorceries is the Greek word pharmakeia, meaning medication or pharmacy. The word is derived from the Greek word G5332, which means a drug, that is, spell-giving potion. A druggist or pharmacist or poisoner. In the last days leading up to the Sunday Law, an issue that will contribute to the divisive environment inherited by the eighth and final president will be the work of the pharmaceutical industry, as represented by Anthony Fauci, and the China virus. Fauci and China are both representatives of the dragon power, and Fauci's fingerprints can be traced all the way back to the invention of the HIV virus. Population control, as represented by men such as the billionaire Bill Gates, is an attribute which began in Pharaoh's attempt to wipe out the babies in the time of Moses, and Herod's efforts to do the same in the time of Christ. Half the population was deceived by the China virus, and you can still see people wearing the masks, which do not prevent any virus. We will continue this study in the next article. Satan works through the elements also to garner his harvest of unprepared souls. He has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature, and he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. When he was suffered to afflict Job, how quickly flocks and herds, servants, houses, children were swept away, one trouble succeeding another as in a moment. It is God that shields his creatures and hedges them in from the power of the destroyer. But the Christian world have shown contempt for the law of Jehovah. and the Lord will do just what he has declared that he would. He will withdraw his blessings from the earth and remove his protecting care from those who are rebelling against his law and teaching and forcing others to do the same. Satan has control of all whom God does not especially guard. He will favor and prosper some in order to further his own designs, and he will bring trouble upon others and lead men to believe that it is God who is afflicting them. While appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. Even now he is at work. In accidents and calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations, in fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms, in tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes, in every place and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest, and famine and distress follow. He imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. Destruction will be upon both man and beast. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The haughty people do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Isaiah 24:4-5. And then the great deceiver will persuade men that those who serve God are causing these evils. The class that have provoked the displeasure of heaven will charge all their troubles upon those whose obedience to God's commandments is a perpetual reproof to transgressors. It will be declared that men are offending God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath, that this sin has brought calamities which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced, and that those who present the claims of the fourth commandment, thus destroying reverence for Sunday, are troublers of the people, preventing their restoration to divine favor and temporal prosperity. Thus the accusation urged of old against the servant of God will be repeated, and upon grounds equally well established. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. 1 Kings 18:17-18. As the wrath of the people shall be excited by false charges, they will pursue a course toward God's ambassadors very similar to that which apostate Israel pursued toward Elijah. The miracle-working power manifested through spiritualism will exert its influence against those who choose to obey God rather than men. Communications from the spirits will declare that God has sent them to convince the rejectors of Sunday of their error, affirming that the laws of the land should be obeyed as the law of God. They will lament the great wickedness in the world, and second the testimony of religious teachers that the degraded state of morals is caused by the desecration of Sunday. Great will be the indignation excited against all who refuse to accept their testimony. The Great Controversy, 589-590.